Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. I am delighted you found us and hope that you listen in every week to Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. Each week we bring you guests to talk about this thing called Ancient Future Christian Faith. And this week is a favorite guest of mine. He's a frequent guest, Dr. Rick Ashey. Hey, Rick, welcome.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Rick is the pastor at Epiclesis for Intergenerational Discipleship, and that may sound like a mouthful, so we may want to talk about what in the world that means. I guess we will touch on that some today, Rick, because You're in the studio today to talk about one of your passions, and you have several when it comes to ministry. What in the world does a pastor of intergenerational discipleship do?
I think at the core, my calling is about equipping different generations, and specifically the older generations, to develop a culture and environment where we pass on, we model, we disciple God's story. And so for me, it's about equipping older generations to carry along the younger generations and bring them up in, show them how to live out our faith together collectively. So it's a modeling of, but it's also experiential. So it's not just, hey, watch me do this, but it's literally come alongside me and we'll do this together.
I appreciate you saying the older generations, because when somebody hears the title intergenerational discipleship, you're thinking, okay, that's just the latest buzzword or fancy term for youth pastor. But that's not at all what you're talking about here. You really are talking about intergenerational ministry, learning, worship, catechesis, etc.
It's almost exclusively about investing and equipping and training parents and grandparents how to lead their families well.
That happens best in a church that is open to it. Now, that may sound like an obvious no-brainer, but when you stop and think about it a minute, there are a number of churches where, just by virtue of the model of the way that generations are separated, either physically or...
Yeah, like academic compartmentalization.
Yeah, sure. Which is the way we used to do. I mean, I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church in the 50s, 60s, 70s. That's the way you did. You had a session in at the very beginning of Sunday school, right? So you got the big room, and then everybody goes to their little rooms based upon age and gender, grade level, etc. Yeah. And in some ways, we're still doing that, aren't we? Because the youth have their thing over there on the hill or in a different building, and then this group.
And I would say, I believe there is a value in that as a part of the greater plan of how do we equip and disciple all of our generations collectively, but also meet them where they're at.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Rick Ashey. He's a pastor on staff at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. He is a graduate of the Institute for Worship Studies, where I also went to school, and he's been on staff with us at Epiclesis for a couple of years now, where one of his passions is intergenerational discipleship worship. Rick, would you want to touch just a little bit on what you looked at in your doctoral work and how that kind of has an impact upon what you're doing now?
Yeah, so my thesis was essentially developing a culture of the transmission of God's story. A lot of big words.
That's a mouthful. Better break that down a little bit.
Essentially, it's equipping parents and grandparents to equip their children and grandchildren to walk in the biblical, historical, and theological faith that has been handed to us throughout the last 20 centuries.
You use the word story, though, and I see that in a lot of places here and there in American evangelicalism. What's the business of this emphasis on the word story? What's it all about?
Right, and I don't want people to get muddied into assuming I'm, story, so you don't believe this stuff is true.
Fairy tale or something.
Right, like that. No, what I'm suggesting is that this isn't just a collection of facts that we are to sort of download into our life, but that literally there is a narrative, that the Bible itself is the grand telling of God's faithfulness from creation all the way through the fall, and then with Jesus through his sacrifice on the cross and the restoration through the church and all of these things, that if you look at it in that way, what we're doing is we're inviting people to step not into an environment of just learn these rules and your life will be better, but mm-hmm. embrace this as the way you do your life.
I've heard you talk about that very thing in the context of a puzzle, and it was a wonderful picture. Let me make sure I get this right.
Yeah.
You one time were saying that it seems to me that we need to show people the front of the box, or what the puzzle is supposed to look like when it's finished. What did you mean by that? What's the context of
that? Yeah, so what I was talking about is that oftentimes, traditionally, what ends up happening is that people come to church, and each Sunday they get a message. And that message may or may not be connected in a series, like a teaching series. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're going through a book of the Bible, or maybe you're going through a 5 weeks on how to be a better family or whatever. But then you move on to the next series after that. What oftentimes happens is if you imagine each Sunday is like handing somebody a piece of a puzzle. And mm-hmm. they take it, they look at it. It's got a couple of colors. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it relates to around it. Take it and put it in their pocket. They go home. Come back 7 days later, get another piece of the puzzle. Well, these two may or may not fit together.
Right. They may not be adjacent.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Go home, come back 7 days later, get another piece. And so in that idea of education and discipleship, you're anticipating a couple of things. One, that somebody's going to be with you for a very long time.
That's right. I'm fixing to say, and sometimes people don't even come back 7 days later.
Yeah. I mean, using this metaphor, I mean, if you've got a 1,000-piece puzzle, you're making the assumption somebody's going to walk with you for 1,000 Sundays,
right,
and then get the picture,
right,
of what the thing actually looks like. And so what we're suggesting, and actually what we live out as a worshiping body every Sunday, is that in a simplified form, we are telling God's story through all of the different actions that we do and through the different scriptures that we're incorporating into every Sunday morning. And so the idea is that hopefully in a very short period of time, even on a singular Sunday, somebody can walk away saying, I get the golden thread. I understand the overarching theme of God's faithfulness. And this week, I learned one way that that's expressed to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it is literally like, hey, here's the front of the box. Here's the front of the puzzle box. See that piece that you've got there? You see kind of where it fits? Okay, if you come back next week, see, now it's going to make a little bit more sense. So so you're looking at the big picture first, and you're not waiting for a long period of time before you start to understand what it is that you're actually a part of.
Rick, before we turn our attention to the specific issue we wanted to talk about today, and that is I hesitate to call it a program, but it's an experience that you are putting together and working on at Epiclesis.
Yeah.
I did want to go back and touch on the word generation, because when people think of the word generation, they may, well, I'm not sure what comes to mind, but you think of the word generation in a lot different ways and in several ways than other folks might define generation. Talk to us just a little bit about your view of what we're saying when we're talking about generation.
Well, I think there's the obvious, which is that there are a multitude of generations that are living now. You know, you have the builders, the boomers, the Generation X, millennials, and now what is referred to as Gen Z, which are younger than 20.
Are they the latest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're the ones that
I can hardly keep up with all.
Right. That's sort of your junior high through 20-year-old group. And they're distinct from the millennials in a variety of different ways. You know, and so within that, there are just age group generations, if you will, and
okay,
each one is unique. One of the things that is very interesting, just to point at this, and why I think it's really important for us to look honestly and ask hard questions about American Christianity right now, is that statistically we've found less than 8%, I think it's not even 6%, of millennials would claim an active faith,
right,
in the church and in Jesus Christ.
Wow, mercy.
And it's about the same or a pinch less, maybe 5% for Gen Z currently. And so what you're finding is that almost 95% of the generation would not associate itself with an active practicing faith, if you will, within the context of Christianity.
Okay, so you've got these generations like baby boomer, millennial, Generation X, so on.
Mm-hmm.
What other ways do you define generation?
So another way that we can look at is not just age-bound generations, but spiritual generations as well.
Okay.
This is interesting because there's time expansion and time compression. And so you can look at a historical, like, era as a generation, a time frame where that group and the way that they expressed their faith then led to, you know, the next quote unquote spiritual generation of time. So that can be a very long time, or it could also be literally a very compressed time frame of one individual that's raising or discipling another person, leads a person to the Lord, and then that becomes a spiritual generation as well.
So it might not be 40 years, but rather
right.
somebody who is in a different spiritual generation passing on the faith to somebody else.
Yeah, so like in the Psalms, you know, it talks about the ancestors. I think it's in Psalm 87, maybe. It talks about our ancestors. It talks about us. And then it talks about our children and our children's children, you know. And so it's kind of these longer epochs, if you will, of faith and how they set the stage one for another. And so for us, there's spiritual legacy, there's spiritual generations. And sometimes it could be a grandparent bypassing over a parent who does not walk with the Lord to a grandchild, right?
Gotcha. Right.
So it doesn't have to be a linear generation to generation, but there's a spiritual generation that could be there. Or it could be the paralleling of, you know, someone my age that I lead to the Lord and disciple. That's a spiritual generation, even though we're effectively the same age.
Gotcha. I understand.
And those are all really important ways that we think about and challenge ourselves to recognize that we can't just create an environment where everything is built on age, that this group that's this old goes here and this group that's that old goes over there. But that there's kind of this cross-connecting, you know, of these different generations.
Now I'm thinking about how that works out in a practical way, just say in our worship time at Epiclesis. So many times we value intergenerational worship, worshipers of all ages and places in their Christian walk worshiping together. And very often in our teaching time, there is opportunity for feedback. You might not catch that if you listen to the podcast, because sometimes those things are edited out for time. But we have the opportunity for people to give feedback. And I ask questions when I teach, or you ask questions when you teach, and people have the opportunity to share something from a personal perspective. And my goodness, we always learn something from somebody else, don't we?
Right. And this is one of those really cool things that we do collectively. And this is the other side. So we were talking earlier about the idea of age compartmentalization and age appropriate learning as having a valid space. There is an importance for that, because the fact of the matter is that an 8-year-old is not going to cognitively, you know, they're not going to understand or think in the same way that an adult will. However, what's really interesting is that when you have this collective, multi-generational, intergenerational worship environment, you do have a place where older generations are leading by example. And sometimes, a lot of times, out of the mouth of babes, a younger person will speak something or that will become the catalyst for others either to be reminded and rejuvenated in their faith or to see it from a new perspective.
Yeah, something those of us oldsters may have not even thought about before.
Right.
Well, before we turn the corner and talk about Epic Kids, which is why ostensibly we're here today, let me remind folks that they're listening to a radio program called Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. My guest today is Dr. Rick Ashy. He's on staff at Epiclesis, one of our pastors, the pastor for intergenerational discipleship. We've been talking about what in the world that means. And now we turn the corner to talk about something that you are doing at Epiclesis, Rick, called Epic Kids. You want to talk about what, why, when, and wherefore?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll take all of what we've talked about, we'll squish it all together now, and we'll say, here's how we're attempting to live that out as the Epiclesis family here in the fall in a very intentional way. So we have these two ideas. One is intergenerational worship together, and that's what we do on Sunday morning. Full family worship is another term that we use. And then we have this age-appropriate learning. And so on Sunday mornings, during the teaching time, So we have gone through a time of worship and confession and offering together and sharing and giving testimony and all these things. And then we go to that teaching time. Mm-hmm. The elementary age kids are going to duck out with our team, our Epic Kids team. And we're going to go to a class and we're going to be teaching the same scriptures that the rest of the church family is experiencing at their level. But we're going to be teaching them experientially at a level that the kids can understand and where they can ask their questions the way that they need them answered, so that they have, you know, a better ability to process and to wrestle with these themes. Because there's a lot of research that's demonstrating to us that kids just don't think cognitively at the same level as older, even teenagers or adults. And so the idea of a child sitting for, say, 30 minutes and listening to a, for lack of a better term, a lecture, a teaching, is not the best way for them to be able to internalize that information and begin to synthesize it into something practical. Okay, this is what I can do with this information. And so what we're going to provide is a great opportunity for them in this great little classroom that we've got to learn these scriptures in a way that makes a lot of sense to them at their level and is really tactile, really experiential. So I'll give you an example.
Well, before you do that, though, Let me just go back and make sure people got it. So worship begins at Epiclesis at 10:30, and we have singing and scripture and responsive readings. Then there will be a time of profession of faith where we talk about what it is we believe. Mm-hmm. That would be maybe some more scripture or one of the creeds of the church. We have a time of confession and repentance. We all are going through that together. Then comes a time where we bring God's tithes and our offerings and intentional offering time. Then comes teaching time, for lack of a better word, the sermon. And that's the place where you're saying that elementary school kids have the opportunity to get a teaching that's structured and targeted directly to them.
Yeah.
And then, I don't want to steal your thunder, but then they return after that in order to participate at communion with family. So we all come around the table, and at Epiclesis we do communion each week. And so families have the opportunity to be back together around the table.
Right. So what we're doing is we're maintaining all of the intergenerational transmission of God's story together. All of the actions, the sacred signs and symbols. We do all of that stuff together collectively. Moms and dads and grandpas and older generations and younger generations. We're doing all of that. But right there, kind of quote unquote in the middle during the teaching time, what we're simply doing is we're saying, here, let's go experience this at a level that you're going to understand much more deeply than you would just sitting there with your parents or your grandparents for the next 30 minutes.
Well, that reminds me to bring up two points. One of them is, not only are these children going to be receiving something in a teaching time that is prepared especially for them, but they also have the opportunity to learn and listen from one another, right? I mean, that also happens in that context.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, in the same way that our assumption and our desire is that generations will be investing in one another, the kids are actually talking back and forth with one another, and this actually happened. We did a five-week prototype, if you will, and it was really cool to see the kids. After we talked about the scriptures and we talked about the themes of those scriptures, then they started sharing things from their own lives to us as the leaders of the time, also to one another.
Yeah.
And that's where it really becomes real for them.
I love it.
Siblings talking back and forth and kind of elbowing each other on a little, oh yeah, you did that, remember? And or across the table with someone else. Yeah, you know, and yeah, that I struggle with that. Or yeah, my mom and dad, and we talk about that kind of stuff. But here's the beauty of it too. Is that one of the byproducts of this is that mom and dad or grandma and grandpa get 30 minutes to listen and experience God's word without worrying about whether their kid is fidgeting too much or being too disruptive. Because
which we don't care about, actually.
Which we don't, but they do.
But they do.
We do naturally. People do. Sure. Actually had one of the families came up to me after we did that 5 weeks, and they said, oh my gosh, we learned more in the last 5 weeks than we did this entire last year, because our attention was completely given to what was going on, and we weren't worrying how to take care of our kids.
I think you said that they said the first time we really, really worshiped
yeah,
or hard. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, too, is that we also, in fairness, make space for a family that says, you know what, that's not for me. I really do want my child to be, you know, all the way through. And that's totally fine. So this
is
not...
I was gonna ask you about that.
Right.
That was the second point I wanted to make. And that is, we also recognize and embrace that some moms and dads may want their children with them throughout the entirety of the worship service.
Which is perfectly fine.
Yeah, that is A-okay with us. Okay. In fact, we have some families for whom, for whatever reason, mom and dad decide this, and they know best, that some of their children may participate in Epic Kids, and others may stay behind in the worship service to be with them, which is fine.
And this is one of my core values, is that I am here to equip you, to equip your children or your grandchildren in following the faith of the church and your family. Mm. So it's not me telling you what to do, but I'm here saying, hey, here's a couple of options that we have as a church family. How can we best serve you so that you can be faithful, so that you can be successful in what God has called you to do, which is raise your children to follow after him.
Ah, well
so
said.
So there's two things that happen that are also byproducts of this Epic Kids. It's really cool. We're investing in our high school and junior high and college age students.
How so?
As part of our leadership team. Now, we're not conscripting them, dragging them in. What we're doing here is we're inviting them to say, hey, would you like to come and learn some leadership skills? Would you like to come and volunteer and process through what does it take to create a short Bible study that's age appropriate and be creative and exercise, you know, the gifts that God has given you? So we're providing opportunities now to invest in our younger adults and give them the opportunity to gain some leadership skills.
Love it.
But then another thing that we do is we build this little sheet of paper called For the Ride Home. Mm-hmm. So mom and dad are hearing the same scriptures as their kids are in Epic Kids. And now the question is, do you just go home and do nothing for the next 6 or 7 days? And a lot of parents don't exactly know, okay, what do I do next? So we're simply giving them a springboard.
Love it.
And it's got the scripture that we talked about with a focus verse. Here's a memory verse as well. And then I provide 3 or 4 questions that are not yes or no questions. And those questions have a little cheat sheet. Here's your answer. So I'm helping mom and dad kind of know and lead their kids. And again, that's a repetition and that's synthesis of the information. So it doesn't just get stuck in the brain in the short term and then get jettisoned for the next block of information that comes at them. And if we can take that information and apply it practically, now you have discipleship and now you have a transmission of culture and not just facts.
It sounds wonderful. Folks, if this intrigues you, I want you to think about coming to Epiclesis with your kids. If you're looking for a church that values and embraces families worshiping together, where families participate in the sacred actions of worship together, where if you choose as a parent, there's an opportunity for a teaching time developed especially for your elementary school age kids, and then we all come around the table of the Lord together. If that sounds interesting to you, I want you to try it out. You can learn more about it at epiclesis.org. That's our website. Encourage you to zip over there. But better yet, we'd just love you to show up on a Sunday morning. Now, Rick, we're taking the summer off from Epic Kids. And when this airs, it'll be about mid-July. And this is going to all start back up again when?
Middle of September.
Okay.
Is when we're going to launch. And we will go through September up to the end of the church year. And then in Advent, we will begin a mini series that follows along with the Advent.
Pastor Rick Ashy, thank you so much for being on this edition of Ancient Future Faith. And folks, I want you to come try out Epic Kids when you'd visit Epiclesis. Rick, thank you for joining us. And folks,
absolutely,
thank you for joining us. And remember, surely the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis, or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome. As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.